Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 80 for Timing Research for June 4th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen now while I'm talking. We're going to get through as many of those as we can. We're broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today I have arranged for Jeremy Newsom to join us. Hopefully he will be here in a couple minutes. He was having some tech issues. And Michael Filiguera is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Michael.
Thank you, David. And good afternoon, everybody. And it is afternoon on all of our coasts and even in the middle of the country. So good afternoon. I'm hoping everybody is having a fine pre-summer day here in San Francisco. It is gloriously sunny and a little bit on the warm side, which is kind of difficult to sit inside and to look at my screens. But nonetheless, I am excited about today's show and getting to as many of these stocks as we can. I do like the way Mike Pisani, he and I have done this show together several times, and I like the way he begins. And how he begins is he gives a brief synopsis of what he feels, along with all the guests, but right now it's just me, how we feel about the overall markets. And that's where I'm going to start today. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Michael Filiguera. I am the proprietor, the owner of logicalsignals.com. That is my website. Currently continuing to work through a little bit of construction, and hopefully we'll be looking at maybe the end of June, hopefully the beginning of July. Where I'll be able to launch a new site, which is going to have new content, where hopefully I will have more of a daily blog type update on the markets. And I think that we're going through some very interesting times. I think it is an extremely interesting time to be in the market. I think it's a very interesting time to be in the United States with all that is happening nationally. And then we add into that everything that's taking place on an international scale. And it just produces quite an atmosphere for trading. As the markets and the countries and all of us continue to prepare to push further into the 21st century, we're finding that a lot of technology is coming up with some great new product. And of course, it's keeping a lot of different sectors in the market on their toes or on pins and needles, you might say. One particular sector just kind of takes off because it's got promise, then it doesn't, and then it goes back and it goes back and forth. So I'm noticing as well that in terms of the markets that we're not really seeing the type of play that we had prior to the broad use of algorithms. Now, I am not against algorithms by any means, and I think you'll find a lot of older traders or old floor traders who really, we don't like algorithms. And part of that reason is that an algorithm does not really trade with any emotion, just does what it's being told to do, i.e. it's an algorithm. You know, it is a computer program, and that computer program is going to do what it's being told to do. And now we have many, many trading firms, which are basically 100% algorithmically controlled. And they spread themselves out across many of the different sectors, plus futures, bonds, currencies, indexes, equities, and everything that has options. So it becomes more difficult then, I think, to really determine is the market bullish or bearish, because if we're having movement into the market where we're seeing, for example, we can look at stocks such as Beyond Meat, which is BYND. Just going to throw that up because I'm, you know, just giving a little bit of a brief here. Here we have, I guess if I put in the right symbol, there we go. Now this stock has really only been around since the beginning of May, and it came on at $45. That was its IPO price. Yesterday, it traded to 108.67. Now, if you take a look at the options in Beyond, as I was just discussing with David, look at these options. These options expire on Friday, the 7th of June. They're trading at 177% volatility. That produces extreme opportunities, and I mean extreme opportunities for algorithmic firms. And they just will be scouring the markets, looking for trades where they can take advantage of premium in the option. And then they do the corresponding hedge. For example, you call, you sell stock. You buy puts, you buy stock. You sell puts, you sell stock. You sell calls, you buy stock. So we've got all these dynamics in play, and these algorithms will come in right away and they'll execute, which keeps the volatility alive and can drive a lot of traders crazy. Because again, a lot of these, I didn't mean to do it that way. Let's go back over to charts. There we go. And I'm going to go back to the SPX or the S&P. This is the cash market. Now, we saw basically since the end of April and for pretty much the entire month of May was a pretty hard down market. After reaching a high mid-April at 29.54, the S&P has basically fallen to yesterday's low at 27.28 or 27.29 if we round up. So markets don't go straight down or straight up. And we find that we have, as like right here, we have the initial drop down. Then the market comes in and does a bounce. And then we have another wave down. And of course, the corresponding bounce. Now, in my opinion, this particular bounce was a little bit harder, a little bit more than what I would have anticipated at this juncture in the overall move. So either we're getting a signal, a very strong signal today, that the market now is done. It's done going down and it's off to the races. Now, that would be my first take on the intensity of today's drive higher. We see that the S&P was up almost $59. That's 59 S&P dollars. There's 500 stocks in this particular index, and they all had to be bought pretty hard today for this thing to move up $59. So that's pretty amazing. So I think that what I'm trying to put into context is the size of the move. And then if we look at our volume in it, we're going to see that the volume was pretty dang high. I mean, overall, we saw almost 1.8 million in the S&P. Now, yes, it has really traded much higher than that in terms of volume, but this is pretty big volume more recent. We also have some superior volume down in the NASDAQ, which is normally at this time of the day, even towards the close, maybe between 300,000 and 400,000 contracts. So it's trading 553,000, almost 555,000, actually, by the time it's all said and done. Now, that's a lot of contracts. So these things are trading. Now, when you've got algorithms in play and you're trading these markets, what we find is that depending on the size that they're coming in to buy or sell, it's going to depend on how quickly it moves into particular levels. But because the volumes to the upside were so strong, sellers scatter. Makes sense. And then just let them come in and pay up for what they're doing. And that's pretty much what we've seen all day. Another market that I was actually surprised with was the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ going up like it did just really kind of surprised me. But then again, if I look at it on our daily chart, it doesn't really look any bigger or smaller than yesterday's decline. So when I can try to put things into perspective, it kind of balanced things out. And I see that we've been joined. So I am going to, let me get rid of that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and welcome. Glad you can join us. And then we'll move on. So I will just continue to leave my chart here. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about what you do.
Yes, thank you so much. So are you able to hear me?
Okay? Yes, can hear you fine.
Beautiful. Good. Okay, wonderful. So my name is Jeremy Newsom, and I apologize I'm late for everyone who was wondering where the heck I was. My internet apparently in my house just totally crashed, and so I'm at my friend's house right now. Just got in the car and drove over really quickly. So yes, my main focus is just day trading, and I do both options and stocks. I also have some long-term investments, and I love technical analysis. I love helping people understand technical analysis and learn just a little bit more about the beautiful aspects of candlesticks and charts and patterns and Dow theory. And this is really, I always love being on this presentation on the show.
That's great. And Jeremy, basically I trade futures primarily, but I'm an ex-market maker. I've been in the markets since 1979. I've traded options here in San Francisco. I've traded in London. I've traded in Amsterdam and then in Germany before coming back here to San Francisco. All right, now my focus is futures. I day trade futures, but like yourself, I also have positions and options and positions, core positions that I continue to maintain. Now, how I usually start this is what I was kind of going into, but we might, because now I'm seeing that where we are, I'm going to go ahead and just jump straight into going over as many of these stocks as we can. And the first one, the first one on our list for today is Xilinx. And yep, I've got it on my screen. So I'll continue just to keep my screen up and share. Unless if you want to switch it to yours, that's fine. If there's something in particular that you want to show.
Got it. No, I think this is perfect. I can navigate your charts really easily and let people, for anyone who's looking in or visually looking in, But I love this gap that we had previously on earnings, you know, really good gap down. A lot of people were trapped. A lot of people were scared. So you had a nice little sell-off. And what moving average is this on your 200 or 100?
This is the daily, and that's the 200.
Beautiful. Thought so. Yep. So gorgeous, gorgeous pullback to the 200, which is really the first time that it's hit that, you know, in about 4 to 5 months, maybe a little bit longer. But pulling back into that zone, big, powerful name, very strong trend over the last few months. So buying the dip on this one does make sense. And I really do like the candle that came in today. I would be tiptoeing in down here because obviously with the market, you know, we could get a little bit stronger of a pullback. But looking at the chart, looking at the technicals, I love this candle that came in today. I love the gap. I really like the location. I think this is a good spot to be looking. If you're looking at planning a long on Z-Links, just kind of tiptoe in and do it with a smaller size, but look for higher moves from here.
Okay. I'm not as familiar with Z-Links as I used to be. But when I was looking at this chart, I agree that it's a pretty big gap on last earnings. And then continue to move lower, and we're in what, and just so the people that don't know me, I am an Elliott Wave analyst. Basically, that's where my technical training really came in, and I've been doing Elliott for since 1988, so quite a bit of time, which is,
I love it.
Yeah, it works, and I use Fibonacci quite a bit. There are some other things, but right off of this low that we saw beginning of May, or actually the end of May, sorry about that, 520, is to me a beautiful three-way bounce. And that, to my mind, is corrective. And today's candle, you're right, stocks up $4.60, which is basically just playing along with other stocks in that space, but also just in the market overall, produced quite a bounce off of the sell-offs that we've had through the month of May and into the beginning of June. Now, what I think is that the balance of any rally, if there's still more to come, really should be held below 110. If the market starts to break above 110, then I think it's really portending to tell us that this low is it. It's going to hold until the stock really starts to move, probably even maybe up to close that gap. I don't see that right away, but because it's going to be quite the trip, it's $20 more higher, and then an additional 20 to fill that gap. So whether the market really has the energy to get up there, or if the sectors will support it, if the market will support it, is yet to be seen. But I'd look for some continued follow through and likely around the 110 level. And then I would be expecting another larger leg down. On the support side, we're going to find some around 100 or par just because of the number. And then at that low, which is 97.75, we'll say, so around 98 down to 97.50, we'll call it, could provide some support on the way down. But if we start to break there, notice what we got. We've got another gap. So if it starts to break below 96.5, I think then we're going to drop. We have an additional $6 that this stock could drop down. How quickly can it do it? Well, here you've got one day, went from 126 to 114, all in one day. Granted, news was out, but still, the stock does have potential to move strongly in either direction.
Agreed.
So I'm gonna
I feel like the wave count also, Michael. I am a fan, and I kind of agree. It's one of those cool situations where, is this a wave four?
Yeah.
Or, you know, are we, or is this big? Is this a bigger ABC? And the bottom of May, you know, mid-May is that C wave, and now we're going to start a new 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we need a little bit more play in the market.
Totally.
We need more evidence before you can actually say which is it? Is it just a start of another larger move up, or is it just a smaller ABC? I don't know if I suppose I would say that it could be a small four, in which case, if it's a five, just on that basis, folks, on an Elliott basis, five is usually equal to wave five would be equal to wave one. Well, guess what? Wave one is 141 down here to 109. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I definitely would be expecting that unless they're coming out with earnings real quick again and this thing's going to sink. But I don't think that their earnings are going to be due until July. So I wouldn't be looking for that right now. But I do think it's probably a small four. We get another five. I'm thinking that it might hold right there at that lower support around the 96 level, 95 to 96. And if that works, then we indeed should see a larger ABC or three-way rally up. So we're going to kind of hang tight and see. Here's another new favorite for a lot of people, and that's Square, which is a San Francisco-based company. Jack Dorsey, who also is the CEO of Twitter, is also the CEO of Square. I'm going to, Jeremy, I'm going to go ahead and let you start again. So you go ahead and give us your look here at Square.
Yes, thank you. So what I'm thinking about on Square, I do like the company long term. I'm actually a very, very big fan of this. And presently, myself and a few other traders have a $60 June put sale, which was definitely underwater massively yesterday. But at the same time, keep in mind, you know, when I'm selling puts, I really don't mind owning shares. So that was not something I was afraid at. I really wasn't terrified of the $60 level on Square at all. And my price, I'm really keeping an eye on. I know you're a big fan of the 100. So the 100 moving average on the weekly chart is what I'm thinking could be a great support level on Square. Right now, we're probably just most likely sideways to bullish, a little bit neutral. But the 200 simple on Square, I think, is like 45 and some change. And the 100 simple on Square is like 56.67. Okay. Long term, very bullish on this stock. Love the company. Love everything about it. Jack Dorsey's a genius. I'm a big fan. And short term, I would say bullish to neutral. I think selling puts could be a good way to get into the stock a little bit lower than it is now. Maybe around 55 for June, July, or August. I also have a bull put spread for June, 55.50 bull put spread. And I did not play Square today, unfortunately, although I should have. But really good gap, nice move. And I love this one white soldier candle. And I will look for Square to continue higher today.
Okay. I am also a favor of Square. Not so much Jack Dorsey, but I am in favor of Square. I'm a fan of Square based on the product. The product is extremely useful. And the fact that you can have plugging in into your cell phone or into a laptop or anything, and just being able to take credit cards and debit cards and get your payments immediately. I mean, these are all done immediately. So I'm a big fan of the technology. And I think that that's what has propelled Square up to its highs that we saw last year. And then, you know, kind of come tumbling down as the market gets to digest. Did we get too far ahead of ourselves? And let's bring it back to the sense of reality. So they dropped it back to the 50 level. Then we saw an additional rally, and now it's pulling back from there. Bottom line for me is I actually like your position on selling those June 60 puts. I'll take some.
Yep.
And not on the buy side, I'll sell some, because I agree with the underlying premise there is that, you know, you're selling puts at the 60 level, and if it drops to 58, you're going to get filled, and you're going to be buying stock at 60. But I'm going to say that on that drop yesterday, or even this morning down to that level, produced some fairly decent volatility. So you had some juicy premium in the puts. So, which makes them even a nicer trade. Now, again, and I just was looking at the weekly in Square, it is getting a little bit oversold down here, and that's on a weekly basis. And I use a stochastic momentum indicator, which is a little bit different because it's telling me momentum is it building here, because you can see on my chart that it's starting to tick up, and it really started to tick up yesterday. So yesterday's selling produced upward momentum in this index, in this momentum index. That's a strong positive for the stock. And then, of course, today's follow through really gave it that additional boost to start pulling this higher. Now, whether it's going to, as I normally say, even a positive, well-liked stock such as Square does not necessarily mean that it's going to be able to withstand a broader market move down.
Yep.
And unfortunately, a lot of our stocks today are within indexes. Indexes get sold and bought en masse. So in other words, if this is a part of the NASDAQ or a part of the S&P, which I believe it is, if the S&P is being sold, all 500 stocks are being sold at the same time, varying amounts, but still it can't escape a broader market rally or decline. Now, it can do better than a rally in the broader markets, or it can do worse in the terms of a decline, simply if it's having additional selling pressure because of its own news. The stock to me looks like it might need one additional low, but I don't see it going below 55 right now. So maybe it's going to revisit 60, stick its nose down below 60 like it did yesterday a little bit, and maybe give us a close there, kind of, you know, shake out the weak hands, and then set the stage for a move up. Now, if it breaks, continues to break down, like right now on my daily, it's a 200 days at 68.76. On a daily chart, that's where it would need to break above before you're really going to get that oomph, that extra beat from buyers in this case. Now, on weekly, the 200 days sits well below. And those of you that listen and are fans of Jim Kenny from the Options Professor, he will tell you all about the percentage above or below that 200-day moving average will give you an indication, is this stock overbought or oversold?
Right.
And mind you that at 101, this stock was truly overbought.
Yep.
Truly overbought. And it's going to return to earth. Now, is that over? Don't know, because here we see percentage is not as high, but does it need to move closer to here? And that's why I'm going to continue to peg this level, that 50 level, for some pretty strong support. And so if it breaks through 60 was winning strength, I think it could move very quickly down to this level, but the market itself is going to have to be giving up the ghost, so to speak.
Yep.
So I actually like to share. I'm with you, because you can see that oversold looks like it might need to rally a little bit. If it does begin to rally, folks, I would definitely be looking for minimum 65. Definitely, that's a given. But I bet it probably can get itself back up towards that 200-day moving average. NVIDIA, next up. NVIDIA is, a favorite of a lot of people.
Yeah.
But this is a stock that has gotten its head handed to it since last year.
Yes. Yes, you are so correct. And full disclosure, I do have a position in NVIDIA. I bought some out-of-the-money calls 2 days ago. Because again, this doesn't have to be the bottom, and it might on NVIDIA. It very well could, but I love that candle. I mean, if this is going to be the bottom, this is the candle that you like. So it would almost make it too easy if this is the bottom on NVIDIA, because we're talking about, since you're again a fan of the 200, Michael, this is the 200 simple on the weekly chart. Huge support on NVIDIA, and I mean, just massive, massive level down here. It almost hit it last time. So we're coming down to these areas. We bounced around here last time. You had 4 weeks in a row of selling on NVIDIA, and it was, right. I think it's just oversold. People love it. Bitcoin thing, love it or hate it, it is heating up again, and people are going to start ordering miners and blah 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 and so on and so forth, and so that whole industry could start getting some love again as well. So I think from here, what is likely that we'll see at some juncture is a continuation higher. I love the candle, I love the gap, I love the volume, I love everything about this support level, and if it's going to bounce, this is where it's going to be. And this is a solid spot, in my personal opinion, to own some either long-term shares or longer-term calls.
So when you're saying long-term, do you go, how far out are you going? January 20 or 21s or even 22s?
Great question. So I have June 2020 calls on at $200. So obviously that's very, very far out of the money. I realize that. And so they have zero intrinsic value, not incredibly safe by any means, but they're not very expensive either. So I could spend, you know, $1,300 on a few contracts on those, and worst case, I lose $1,300. Best case, if NVIDIA is back to 200 between now and, let's say, January, mm-hmm. I'll make some solid money.
Yes, you will. Definitely you will. If nothing more than in volatility.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah, you've got that ticket right. NVIDIA dropped starting last October for good reason. Market was very dissatisfied with what was going on with the company. I think that, as you mentioned, you know, they have their hand into the whole crypto. And I think that's on the basis of the clearing, the chain, blockchains. And if that really kind of continues and grabs hold, there are a lot of different uses for blockchain technology. And a lot of talk that I'm hearing is that that is what's really going to be taking over. And so a lot of things will be switching over to that type of technology. And if that happens, I think NVIDIA will be back above 200 in a heartbeat.
Agreed.
Near term here, we see on this weekly, once again, stock on the weekly basis has drifted back below the 200-day moving average. And if they had more time today, I bet you they probably would have tried to get it up there and at least give it a kiss and a run maybe, or give you that overnight thought about, oh my God, what do I do? Do I buy it or do I sell it? To see if it does break above. So that's your first hurdle right now on the way back up. Today, stock's up almost 7%. That's a pretty decent move. Now, NVIDIA is not a part of FANG, which is Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. That dominated the market last week. If you were watching what was having more, not necessarily in the broader market, but at least within those four stocks. First, they were massively purchased. They were pumped up, and then suddenly change, boom. Then yesterday's news on the antitrust noise really hit Facebook, really hit Google, really hit Amazon, and Netflix. Netflix bounced right back this morning. Hands down, nobody, it was like, we're buying Netflix. And I think that was just Netflix on its own. Then the rest of that four-member stock group jumped as well. We saw Amazon finishing up pretty high. We saw all of them finishing up pretty high. So NVIDIA kind of catches that wind and also gets a nice boost today. The stock on a weekly basis, like the rest that we've seen pretty much, it's really signaling that it's ready for a bounce. Now, how high that bounce is going to get, yet to be seen. But I think the stock does begin to bounce a little bit. On this daily chart, it tells me that we have at least a 60% chance of dropping back down below yesterday's low at 132.60. Doesn't have to go way below. Maybe it gets down to the 130 level. So I'm not looking for a whole lot from here. But if you're a day trader, I'm looking for $13.
Right.
$13 is a playable as a day trader. Or if you're a position trader, it's when you start to build up that position for the next move up because you're going to get probably all the calls you want and you'll be able to even sell puts. You'll be able to maybe partake in some of that premium. In any case, I think we have to leave open the potential for the stock to drop down towards the 130 level. May not happen again because here I look at my momentum indicator and it gave very good signal today. Again, stock's up 7%. That could have been the start, in which case, if it starts to go back, you're going to want to, if you're a long player from the long side, you're going to want to take advantage of that. I don't see where it possibly, this could be a little four and then we're one more, which would complete a five wave off of this high at 193-ish.
Love it.
So I still think, yeah, there's some good stuff for NVIDIA and we'll see if bygones are going to be bygones and they can pick things up. LDOS is Leidos Holdings, Inc. I am not familiar with this stock at all. So we're just going to be basically doing this as a technical analysis.
That's right.
This stock actually went to new all-time highs.
Wow.
So let me just go real quickly and go in and put LDOS and see if they've got anything. Global Science and Technology provides technology, engineering services, and solutions in the defense, intelligence, civil, and health markets. Interesting. So we're not even sure what information technology is. So it's an IT company and made new all-time highs today, I think. At least at 78. Let me pull this up. So go ahead and look at that one.
Highs, man.
Yeah, there you go. Here's the weekly. We'll let you start on that one.
Yep, beautiful. So I appreciate that. Bottom line, I'm with you. I don't know a whole lot about this company, but what I can say, just looking at it, no question, it's a bullish trend. Like you mentioned, all-time high. I don't personally buy all-time high breakouts. I know some people do. It's just not really my thing. I feel like buying something the highest it's ever been ever is just not the greatest trading strategy in the world. So if anything, I would like to, since you're looking at the weekly chart, weekly chart. So on the weekly time frame, you have a little bit of a bearish high wave candle last week. And the high of that candle is 76.82. So right now we close today at 78. So I would at least want $1.20 pullback to 76.82 before I bought it. So I wouldn't just buy it out the gate. But really, since you did have that monthly and then that weekly chart, I mean, both of these look strong. The trend is your friend on this one. And this is going to prompt me to do a little bit of research to find out what the heck this company does. Never even heard of it. Looks like they pay a dividend. So we're talking about strong dividend IT technology software company that's just making new all-time highs. I like that. It's a lot of strength on the stock.
And I'll tell you that being that it's made new all-time highs, an analyst, they're going to say, well, you know, it's in uncharted territory. So the one basics that you can use when you're trying, again, I'm on the weekly, is that low here was at 50.33 and this high was at 65.24. So even if we just round all that up and say 53 minus, what did I say, 50? No, 50. It's $25. No, excuse me, $15. So if, again, in a five-way sequence, which it appears that this is in, wave five is more commonly equal in length to wave one. So if we're going to do that, we're saying $15. Add that to that low. At 73, you're looking at 88, roughly. Now, if this finished a small pullback and then this is starting on the final fifth wave up, up. I would say that we're going to go above 80. And any bullish trend that resumes in the overall markets will likely help this ride along. It's only going to be negative if the broader markets are going to be negative. And again, whatever indexes this may or may not be a part of would affect it. And also it's information technology, the overall sector. But I remain a little bit bullish, cautious. Like yourself, I don't buy new highs, just like I don't sell new lows.
Yep.
I usually will wait, particularly new highs when it's moving into uncharted territory. If you're talking about an index, it's just coming back and it's breaking weekly highs and the monthly high is still way above there. Yeah, that's a different story. But this is it. And I'm going to just go up to the monthly. I'll do one more. Yeah, 78. That's the ticket. And on a monthly, we're looking at this is the third month. And now granted, June has just started. This is the third month of strong up. And basically with 1 month of down for a pullback, you've got five out of the last six are strong up months. So I would... But the further it gets above and above this 200-day moving average, starts to get a little sticky because it's a lot harder to fall. Gravity has a very strong effect on things that are dropping. So proceed with caution. If you are long the stock, you got potential for another $15 off of that that 73 low. That's a pretty decent move, but you might want to start putting a little bit of protection on and getting yourself ready for what ultimately will be a fairly large pullback. Because here's the ultimate low, 1812. That's one, this is two, this is three, this is four, and you're in five. So wherever high this goes, this is going to be the first area of support on the way back down, okay? That's on a monthly basis. If you're trying to trade this on a daily or an hourly chart, it's going to get real painful to watch this thing start to slide when you've got all of this to come into. So again, you know, you protect appropriately and go from there. On a day-to-day basis, I still think there's a little bit more upside left to the stock. It's producing some nice upside momentum. Keep an eye on the news, an eye on when they intend to report, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
At the end of the second quarter. Another one that I'm not really familiar with, but the next one up is ZTS. I have no idea. Hold on. I'm giving us a little bit of a helping hand here. Let's find out who this is. Engaged in discovery, development, manufacturing, and commercialization of animal health medicine and vaccines. Okay, so this is to help your friendly vet. Wow, $103.95. Okay, let's go back over here. That was the other day, yesterday, today. So this thing bucked the downtrend in the broader market. And the last 2 days, it has just screamed, today being up 4%. I'm going to let you go ahead and start.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Yes. ZTS, again, pharmaceutical company, not one that I personally traded before, but that's okay. When you're a technician, you can kind of review everything. And the news on this one, I'm going to have to unfortunately kind of say the exact same thing as the last one we just looked at. This was a beautiful gap today, though, as far on the daily chart. So if you're looking at playing gaps and you're practicing understanding gaps, technology and sentiment and just the wave rotation, this gap on the daily was definitely the start of a wave five, in my opinion. Fantastic gap right above the high of yesterday, just trapping anyone who at that very obvious resistance. And now we're just going a little bit higher and rocking it out. So I wouldn't be buying up here specifically. I would look to buy a dip on ZTS, and I would say most likely 105. Pull back to 105, 104.38, somewhere around there. The trend is bullish. Volume is increasing. All-time highs, bullish trend. Can't argue that, but I just wouldn't buy right here. So I'd put this on my watch list. I'm going to right now to buy a dip on this ZTS. I'll put on the list for in the future and keep an eye on it, man. Thank you for bringing this one up, team. This is great.
Yeah, to whoever decided they wanted to see this one. Yeah, thank you, because this is definitely in a space that is growing exponentially, and that is veterinary medicine. If you live in a city like I do here in San Francisco, dogs and cats are children. And in my neighborhood, there are probably more dogs and cats than there are children. That may be changing because a lot of my neighbors are having families, but still, we tend to now have people that are spending thousands of dollars to get cancer treatment for their pets, and or to get other pharmaceutical treatments for their pets. And that obviously is feeding this particular rally. If the stock basically started last July of 2015 at 31.65, or maybe even longer, because I was on the month. Let me go up to the monthly. Yeah, stock's been around for a while, granted. And from data that I can pull, the low is in 2014 at $28.14. So in the last 5 years, this stock has moved straight up, basically. Now, on the monthly, here is something to really watch for, folks. The 200-day moving average is at 47.34. The stock's trading at 108. That's a lot of real estate in between there. That this is what, I don't want to be quoting Jim Kenny, because he's a brilliant analyst in and of him on his own, but I think he would start to say this seems to start to feel like it's in the stratosphere and it's getting a little bit ripe for a pullback. The monthly, as you can see, is very overbought. It's not tipping yet, but it's overbought. And stocks and indexes can stay overbought or oversold for a longer period of time. Here on the weekly, we saw that it did dip, gave a sell signal, but now is taking it back. I would say today's move produced a small buy signal on the weekly, and that's on a stochastic momentum index. And whether that continues to fuel things, yet to be seen. But wave one was not that big, 87, so basically almost maybe 10 bucks. And so 110, 111, maybe. And if it starts to push from there, you're in no man's land. So you're looking at 115, 120, and it could go there very quickly because it's going to get very thin up here because who wants to sell it if you bought it at 80 and it's still going? You're not going to go throwing out offers because you don't want to miss out.
Yep.
So it could get very thin and then it will just produce higher prices. But you want to be very careful. If you're long the stock, I'd be having a target. I'd be putting on some protection. If you have a great number of shares, you might want to lighten that load, take some profit. There are a lot of things you could do to help protect your position and help protect the money that you already have. Because ultimately, this stock, I don't think it can go another $10 or $20. But if that were to occur, I would suspect that this thing's going to pull back just as hard. And that when it starts to come off, there's going to be so many people that have been waiting that it'll just be like a mass exodus and everybody's running for the exits at the same time. So I'd be careful on this one. But it does look like it has continued upside. Downside, again, on a weekly basis, you're looking at 97, 98. That's just eyeballing. But here, you're going to at least come back into here. So at least down to par, down to 100. If not, down to here, down to that 96, 97 level, as I was eyeballing before. Again, even on the daily, you got your 200-day moving average sitting way down here. So I would be a little bit tempted to start to sell this or to be looking at maybe, I doubt there are cheap puts, but maybe I'd look to sell some calls if this continues to rally, just on the fact that it needs to pull back. And then it says nothing about the company itself. Next on the list is a perennial favorite.
Yep.
Facebook. Lots of news out on Facebook yesterday, getting whacked pretty hard. We've got stuff coming. You know, we've got election stuff coming up. We've got that going to come in because Facebook is smeared all over the place because of what happened in 2016. Will it be repeated? What's in there to prevent it, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got all that political question going on. What's Facebook's role? Then we also have a lot of 2020 candidates basically beginning to talk about breaking up the big boys. And Facebook being the king in its space is right there on the chopping block, along with Google, Amazon, and Netflix. So Fang took a beating yesterday, primarily because of, you know, FTC, Federal Trade Commission kind of coming and going, man, we're going to start an investigation. We're going to take a look. Let's go, blah, blah. Now, considering how some other stocks rallied today, this particular stock was only up 2%. Granted, it's been down pretty heavy, 2%.
Yeah.
I think that if they caught a rally and this stock was really as favorite as it has been at times in the past, I would suspect the stock would have been up in the same levels as Amazon. But we'll see.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're first.
Yep. It's going to be an interesting event. And I appreciate you bringing up those news, you know, the news relations regarding, you know, just breaking it up and putting it on the chopping block, because you are correct. There's a lot of data and a lot of power that Facebook has. So this pullback, though, big picture, I mean, I think it's a great buying opportunity. So when I say big picture. I really am talking like a 2 to 3 year time frame. Short term, I'm actually going to go with your Elliott wave count that you probably already have in your head. This looks like a potential wave 3, and we could get one more lower low, maybe into 156 before she really, really bottoms out. Mm-hmm. But realistically, long term, Facebook owns Instagram and WhatsApp and Facebook. So we can't forget that. They have data of arguably 70% of the world. And with that amount of data, the biggest platforms, bar none, I mean, more people on both of those platforms than YouTube or Netflix or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. We're talking tons and tons of data for marketers. So I actually like Facebook long-term. I do think it can go a little bit lower. I would be watching for a little bit more of a dip. Potentially, doesn't have to, but it could. And if it does, I'll be a buyer around 155.
Okay. And again, as a buyer at 155, there are many different ways to buy this stock.
Yep.
You can use options. You can use a combination of options. You can put on a spread that eventually could end up, you know, one side being in the money and therefore being exercised or signed. Basically, I think if it started to really drop down towards that 155 level, I'd be looking to sell those puts. And on the basis of, I don't mind getting long the stock
here,
like 155, 150. Now, the only thing I want to add here, we got this gap from last beginning of the year, but basically that big gap there, and that was from 165 down to that 150. Here we are again, 167. Could it just slip and go down to 150? Yes, it can. We've seen it. We know it has the potential. When things get going, get out of hand, even though this ends up being bullish candle, a bullish candle, this gap itself was not. What happened after was.
Yeah.
So if it were to happen again, I would tend to think that it would be in the same fashion. There's enough interest, as Jeremy has brought up, there's enough interest in this stock or in this company because of its enormous size, because of what they bought and what they own. Now, again, I live in San Francisco, but I want to tell you, Oculus Reality. I don't know if you all know that name.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg bought Oculus. Jerry, you may know better than me, but I'm going to say at least 10 years ago, I believe.
Yeah, it seems like 10 years ago. It's probably a little bit shorter than that, but it is definitely solid 7-8 years ago, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and he's kept it really under wraps. But what it is, folks, it's a virtual reality. And I'm seeing big, huge billboards around town. And they're on the freeways of Oculus Reality. And I'm like, wow, he's getting ready. He's getting ready to put this product out. That in and of itself, folks, can drive Facebook right up through the moon. But yep. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Stock on a daily basis sitting right below the 200-day moving average. And I think if it starts to break above there, that's going to add to a rally. If it continues on the downside, it's going to look like maybe they want to head towards the 144, which is the weekly 200-day moving average, kind of just to close this gap a little bit, kind of just to bring it in. This is a pretty strong decline. This is a three-way rally. And that spell that basically what we're looking for is an additional decline of that size. Now, again, that's a weekly chart. Daily, you're going to have the ups and bounces, really sweet moves, $3, $4 move up, $3, $4, $6 moves down. So you're going to get all of that play. If you're a long-term holder, you're going to want to give yourself protection. Again, if you're protecting a long position, you can put some puts underneath it. You can sell some calls against it. But you're going to want to protect yourself because if your intent is to hold the stock, well, then that's what you're going to need. You're going to want to need that. And I'm also, Jeremy, I'm watching that exactly for you as well.
Yep.
But Facebook overall, if it didn't have all this antitrust stuff hanging over its head, I would be really in favor. Now, I live here, so I know how big this company is, and I know how many employees they got and how much money sits in. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife live on the next hill over from me, and they own most of the block.
Wow.
It's, you know, they do a lot of philanthropic work as well. So I don't know, you know, I don't think that they're bad people. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, yeah, he's 30 something, but okay. But he's learning real quick. And I like some of the changes, and I think he's going to come around. And so therefore, I think Facebook survives. And so, I would want to be in Facebook. But you guys as investors, or if you're traders, trade it. Trade it. Don't be afraid to trade it. Don't hang on to a position and not be willing to adjust it simply because you love this company. Be able to play along with the market, you're going to make a lot more money and still love this company, but you're going to become, you know, an expert in playing this particular stock. I'm looking over our list very, very quickly. Is there a particular stock? Because we got not that much time. I got Netflix, Twitter. We can talk about bonds, but
Jeremy, I believe exactly at 5 Eastern. So
right. So do you have anything in there, David, that you think we should just put up and talk real quick before he...
Well, I can just throw my general perspectives. I mean, realistically, I love Netflix long term, but if you're going to play it non-directionally for a while, we'll put spread sales, because with Disney streaming coming out, as much as Netflix will win that race, Disney streaming will have an impact. So will Amazon streaming and all the other things. Netflix is still the giant. It will continue. It will be the best. But right now, it had a huge gargantuan move like last 4 years. Let it consolidate, put sales, bull, put spreads, own shares, long term. Still bullish on Netflix, but still going to trade sideways a while. Twitter, I love long term. I actually think this is a really nice wave 4 on a weekly chart on Twitter. So some type of pullback makes sense. And I think it's a dip buying opportunity. I think Trump has really revitalized this entire company. As crazy as that sounds, people care about him. And you think he's going to be the last president to use this? The answer is no. Right? He set the standard now.
Yeah, he did. He did. How about Amazon?
Amazon. So what's really good about Amazon is this particular company is still showing more strength than most of the market. Although it had a nice little dip yesterday, a lot of stocks have pulled back to their 200 or 100 moving averages on a weekly chart. Amazon's only hit the 100, back in December. And my overall thought process on this one, guys, is it's Amazon. It's very expensive to own. It's incredible to day trade. If you want to trade it, it's very, very fun to day trade. But long term, it's gonna double. I mean, in the next 4 years, if they just stay exactly what they're doing, the amount of money that Amazon's making, if they just stay there, don't change anything, mathematically, their revenue and all their entire company will double in the next 4 years. So if that's the case, their stock might double. It's just expensive. So think about, like, you're buying a bar of gold anytime you buy a share of Amazon. I personally prefer to day trade this one, man. It's really fun to day trade, but long term, of course it's gonna go higher.
Yeah. But I just put in the caveat there, because I don't disagree with that analysis, but I'm just gonna say, as long as the status quo stays the same, that will
agree.
Amazon will double.
Totally
Amazon will double. As long as the status quo remains the same. If there's a hiccup or a change in that status quo of how things go, then all the markets are toast.
Yep, I agree 100%.
I've got one more and then set you free. Qualcomm.
Woo! Qualcomm. So Qualcomm, I personally, man, every time I pull up this chart, I just see sideways choppiness. Day trade it if you want, or short term. I mean, it had an island reversal on the daily chart. At least it looks like that way to me. It probably will fill, though, because it's a very blue chip stock, and I don't think Qualcomm's going to go to zero.
No.
So short term, I'd be bullish, expecting it to fill the gap, and I would just day trade this one or own it very long term, or do some non-directional trading on it because it's very, very sideways.
And again, just before you leave, when you're saying own it long term, you can own a stock long term via the options.
Absolutely. Yep.
So you're not putting out $9,000 or $6,800. You're putting out a fraction of that cost and having the control of 100 or more shares.
Bingo. You're 100%. So, I love options.
You know, long-term investors don't necessarily have to buy the stock. You can look at the options and you're going to still have that control of the stock and you get to participate. Jeremy, I'm going to let you just give a closing statement saying how people can get a hold of you, and then wish you the best. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Both of you, thank you as well. I will be in New York City on June the 20th for the Benzinga Trading Summit, and then I'll be in Montreal June 22nd for another trading summit up there. So June's going to be a very popular month for a lot of people. Nashville, I'm holding a trading summit Labor Day week. So anyone who wants to contact me, just email me, Jeremy, spelled Jeremy at reallifetrading.com. Love to chat with you, learn about your story, learn about your progress, your growth, what's holding you back, and how I can get you and help you to where you want to be. So Michael, David, thank you both for your time. I really appreciate your generosity.
Thank you very much, and good luck on all of your things you're doing this summer.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Okay. See you later. And I mean, I could go on, but I'm noticing at the clock and we've used up our time today. And I'm sorry, because I kind of stretched out that introduction waiting for Jeremy to come in, so we had more than just me telling you all about these stocks. To wrap things up, I want to say thank you, David. I always enjoy getting on here and being able to moderate and talk to other traders and analysts about what they think, because when you're all by yourself, you tend to kind of almost be bubble-like, and you're wondering, doesn't anybody else feel the same way I do about this stuff? And then I find out, yep, quite a few people do. And when I take that step back and give it a good hard look, it seems that most of the market tends to agree. But just to kind of finish up, Qualcomm, I think it needs one more dip, probably down to that, at least to test that 200-day at around the 64 level, if not down to 62.5. Then I think the stage is set for a three-wave rally, but not new highs. And David, I'm going to turn it over to you and say thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Well, good to get perspectives from a few different traders. So good show. And just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get instant access to the recording of this or any of the past episodes of the show. Be sure to join us next week for both shows. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live today to get access to the live streaming of the events and see which times are coming up. So Crowd Forecast News on June 10th at Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the next episode of this show on the 11th, Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So just want to thank my guests again for today, Jeremy Newsom of RealLifeTrading.com and Michael Filiguera of LogicalSignals.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.